Oh, wonderful to see you all here. Brothers and sisters in the Dharma, Nassim, who's come just today for the first time, walked in the door, and Paul, who's been here since the 80s, people who've been here for, you know, varying amounts of time, just to sit in this room together and sit in silence and focus attention goes a long way towards peace. So I'm really appreciating your being here tonight, appreciating your practice. Those of you who have signed on for Kilche, you know, this is, it's become a wonderful tradition for us in this Sangha to have a, this three-month period where we collectively tap in to community in a bigger way than usual, tap into our single-minded effort to wake up collectively. I don't know how many of you know this, but the Korean word for retreat is Yeongman Jeonjin, and the translation of that is to leap like a tiger while sitting. To leap like a tiger while sitting. So when we come together like this, and we have that collective energy, we help and support each other. Could you feel in just that 15 minutes or 10 minutes, I don't know what it was, of sitting, it's not so hard when you have this kind of company. So, welcome, welcome. We're, you know, Kilche is coming together in the Dharma. But I have to ask, have we ever been apart? Have we ever really been apart? We are so closely related. We are so closely related. There's a that it's impossible that for us to have been apart. There's a line, a little preview of my upcoming talk on the morning bell chant, but there's a line in the morning bell chant that says, emptiness is a string which leaves nothing unstrung. I'll say it again. Emptiness is a string which leaves nothing unstrung. So what is that? What is that? What is that emptiness or spaciousness, as we call it around here? It's complete connection. Complete connection. So, in one moment, we can feel that, we can understand it and know it in the depths of our bones. And in the next moment, forget it. So we practice for 10,000 years, nonstop. And sometimes the energy gets kind of frittered away, and the direction gets a little bit fuzzy, a little bit lost. So we have Kilche to bring it all back together. Those of us who have done this before, I know we all look forward to it each year for this bolt of energy and inspiration. So the theme for this upcoming Kilche is to look at our chants that we do daily, weekly, monthly. And, you know, we might want to look at, we will be looking at what they mean in some kind of literal way, translation, looking at text, but also looking at why we chant. And what is the purpose, the functionality, and how do these ancient chants have any bearing on who we are now and what we're like now? And we can talk about it as a group, you know, is this, how does it feel like to chant something that was originally in Sanskrit and has been morphed, retranslated and into so many different languages that we chant something that's in fundamentally no language that anybody knows, and for some of them. So from Sanskrit to Chinese to Korean to American, I'm probably skipping over a few languages, but you get the idea. So we'll look at that. What's it for? I think that to just give some broad stroke comments at the beginning about chanting, maybe I'll start with something kind of, you know, just in a personal way. When I first came to the Zen Center in Providence, Rhode Island, many years ago, and they're doing this chanting in some kind of language, and we have these gray robes, and there's so much that's foreign about it to everyone that was there. It took me a little while to warm up to chanting because of its foreignness. But I found that when I speak of coming together in the Dharma, when we simply literally sing together and listen to each other singing together, this is a Dharma practice that's actually kind of easy to tap into, and a good way to start a formal practice with some chanting. First of all, you have something to do. You can either read or you just recite from memory. Your body is doing something. You're listening, you're vocalizing, you're feeling vibrations of sound. So the physicality of chanting is a very accessible and intimate practice. If we have, I think someone told me once that there's no such thing as being tone deaf, that it's just a matter of training the ear to listen. I don't know if that's true or not, but it appeals to me on a philosophical ground. If anyone wants to argue with me about that, that's fine. I'll probably agree with you immediately. But the concept of how we can be deaf to each other, just not hear each other, is pretty important. There's a lot of noise out there, a lot of noise. So when we chant together the same words, the same music, it's a very live way in which to let go of all that noise. And again, be together as one. So it's no surprise that in every spiritual tradition there's some kind of singing going on, as far as I know. Yeah. I thought I'd read a little bit from Dropping Ashes on the Buddha, our founding teacher, Zen Master Sungsan. There's one section in there on why we chant. And it's a couple pages, so bear with me. I'll just go ahead and read it out loud. One Sunday evening, after a Dharma talk at the International Zen Center of New York, a student asked Sungsan Sansa, "Why do you chant? Isn't sitting Zen enough?" Sansa said, "This is a very important matter. We bow together, chant together, eat together, sit together, and do many other things together here at the Zen Center. Why do we practice together? Everybody has different karma. So all people have different situations, different conditions, different opinions. One person is a monk, another is a student, another works in a factory. One person always keeps a clear mind, another is often troubled or dissatisfied. One person likes the women's movement, another doesn't. But everybody thinks my opinion is correct. Even Zen masters are like this. So 10 Zen masters will have 10 different ways of teaching. And each Zen master will think that his or her, I'm inserting that, way is the best. Americans have an American opinion. Orientals have an Oriental opinion. Different opinions result in different actions, which make different karma. So when you hold on to your own opinions, it is very difficult to control your karma. And your life will remain difficult. Your wrong opinions continue, so your bad karma continues. But at our Zen centers, we live together and practice together, and all of us abide by the temple rules. People come to us with many strong likes and dislikes and gradually cut them off. Everyone bows together 108 times at 5:30 in the morning. We don't do that anymore. Back in my youth, we did that. Everybody sits together, everybody eats together, everybody works together. Sometimes you don't feel like bowing, but this is a temple rule, so you bow. Sometimes you don't want to chant, but you chant. Sometimes you are tired and want to sleep, but you know that if you don't come to sitting, people will wonder why. Interjecting. I guess it's partly why we have this whole formality of having a contract for Kilchen. And it's really a contract with yourself. And, you know, we're not going to be looking around saying, where is so-and-so today? So we're so much more laid back than these temple sorts of ways of doing things. But the direction is the same. Whether we feel like it or not, let's do it. Let's wake up. So we live together and act together. Acting together means cutting off my opinions, cutting off my condition, cutting off my situation. Then we become empty mind. We return to white paper. Then our true opinion, our true condition, our true situation will appear. When we bow together and chant together and eat together, our minds become one mind. It is like on the sea. When the wind comes, there are many waves. When the wind dies down, the waves become smaller. When the wind stops, the water becomes a mirror. Our mind is the same. When we have many desires and many opinions, there are many big waves. But after we sit Zen and act together for some time, our opinions and desires disappear. Then our mind becomes like a clear mirror. Then anything that we see or hear, smell or taste or touch or think is the truth. Then it is very easy to understand other people's minds. Their minds are reflected in my mind. So chanting is very important. At first, you might not understand, but after you chant regularly, you will. Ah, chanting, very good feeling. It is the same with bowing 108 times. I'm not quite sure about that. At first, people don't like this. At first, people don't like this. Why do we bow? We are not bowing to Buddha, we are bowing to ourselves. Small I is bowing to big I. Then small I disappears and becomes big I. This is true balance. So come practice with us. You will soon understand. The student bowed and said, thank you very much. Just to clarify, I think bowing is an excellent practice, but many of us don't have the physique or the youth anymore to do 108 in a row. But still, whether you do 108 or 3 or 9, it's a very powerful practice. Thank you for listening to that. I think that another thing that I would say about chanting is that we have an opportunity to use words in a clear way that has a practice direction. That's another thing, that there are so many words flying around. And we're kind of, you know, we can be kind of careless with them. Certainly a lot of people can be very careless with language, with what comes out of the mouth. So when we chant, we are just finding a safe harbor for language. If you think about it, mantra practice is like that in a more condensed form, where we can use language, a recitation of language, as a way to find our direction. I'll talk more about that in a minute. A couple of features of Kelche. As some of you know, we have one of the features is that we, in addition to the community of gathering every week on Tuesday evening and gathering for retreats, we also sign up for Dharma Buddies. And what this is that those who are participating in Kelche, we get paired up with one other person. And during the course of the 3 months, that's a person who you can connect with to talk about the teachings, to talk about assignments, if there are any, or just to talk or hang out or go bowling or whatever. It's a way, just yet another way for us to get to know each other as a Sangha. With that in mind, let's see. Is there a bowl handy? Could you find a bowl for me? What I'd like, for those of you who are signed up to do also, are there a couple of pens handy? I just need two. Oh, actually one would do it. So what I'd like you to do is to put your name on these on a card and then fold it in half, and we'll put it in the bowl and we'll draw names for Dharma Buddies. Does that make sense? I had the great good fortune to get together with a very wise and beautiful teenager recently, who was explaining to me that she, we were talking about mantras. You could collect them. Yeah. Oh, I guess you'll have to catch one as it comes around again. So anyway, we were talking about mantras, and she said that she creates her own mantra according to what she needs to look at and what she needs to balance out according to her situation. And I thought that was really wonderful, very impressive, and very, it showed a lot of early self-knowledge that was quite wonderful. So I thought this might be something that you could do with your Dharma buddy, is have a conversation about mantras and explore it together. Invent some mantras. And, you know, as a device to help you to focus, as a device to help you to remember what you're supposed to be doing, clear mind, don't know. Sung San's fundamental mantra that he would always give to beginning students is, as you breathe in, clear mind, clear mind, clear mind. As you exhale, exhale, don't know. But it could be anything that suits your particular karmic configuration. So that might be an interesting thing to explore with your Dharma partner. Any questions about that? You could after I read off who you're paired with, after practice, you could connect with them and exchange contact information. Oh, could you write down John and Lisa? So one thing that we're doing that's new this year is we have an online component to Kyelche, which is kind of amazing. Why not? There's so many ways for us to develop that connection. So Lisa, who has moved recently to Michigan, and she's leading the online practices that we have on starting next Monday at 6 a.m., every Monday at 6 a.m., she signed up for Kyelche as well. And so I'd like for her to have a Dharma buddy too. And so whoever your Dharma buddy is, you can work it out according to your schedule. And it doesn't matter. Just make it work for you and get to know each other. That would be lovely. Question? Okay. Do you want to draw and read the names? So pick two, I guess. Yeah.
Nate. And Lisa.
All right.
Love is love me.
John. And Jim.
Should we have somebody write this down in case anybody's not here?
Oh,
you're pairing them up. We should have a record of it.
Okay.
Especially if anybody's not here. Oh, great. I'll do it.
Okay, so John is going to be joining us. He's just had to work this week out of town, so he'll be here.
John and
Jim.
Jim.
And Nate and Lisa.
Yep.
And Wally. And Catherine. Came together. Andrew and Debbie.
And if you've already been Dharma buddies in the past, you could be Dharma buddies again.
Chrissy and Paul. Meg and Jill. Looks like we're going to come out even too. Mm-hmm. Beth and Bob K. Last but not least, Stephen and Sean.
Anybody got left out? We're good? All right. Yeah. Well, you know who you're paired with? That's wonderful. Okay, great. One other thing is that there's going to be a koan for Kyelche. And I just wanted to read it out loud. It's kind of long. You know, we're going to be looking at our chants, and our chants are large. Many of them are sutras, our teachings. And so it's in the early days when I was practicing with Zen Master Sunfan, he told us all, I don't want you to read anything about the sutras. I don't want you to read anything about Zen. I just want you to do it. Just do it. And that was great training, but we're such ignoramuses. How do you say that?
Ignoramuses.
We're so ignorant about Buddhist history as Westerners in general. There were some serious gaps in our knowledge and our ability to understand and explain and teach and talk to people about Buddhism. So we are balancing that out with learning about Buddhism, learning about Zen, learning about our chants and our sutras, little by little. However, we're still Zen people, And so that's why I wanted to have a Zen koan that was provide some balance to all that study. So it's for those of you who have this collection, it's in our book on page 27, and it's called Past Mind, Present Mind, Future Mind Cannot Be Attained. The great sutra master, Taishan, traveled to the south of China to check on a rumor that he had heard about a sudden enlightenment school. He stopped at a roadside stand to buy some rice crackers, known as mind refreshers, for a snack. The owner, an old woman, watch out, danger ahead. The owner, an old woman, bowed to him and said, "Good afternoon, great monk. Where are you coming from?" Taishan responded, "From the north." "What is your destination?" "The south." "Why are you going south?" "I am a master of the Diamond Sutra. At temples in the south, the monks only sit facing the wall and they claim they get enlightenment." "That's crazy. So I am coming to wake them up and teach them the Diamond Sutra." "Oh, that's wonderful," the woman said. "But I have one question for you. And if you can answer correctly, these mind refreshers are yours for free. But if you are wrong, you must go away. I will not be able to serve you." Taishan felt insulted and shouted, "Shut up! You are speaking to the master of the Diamond Sutra. My knowledge of it is unparalleled. Throughout the land, ask me anything." You shouldn't go back. The old woman replied, "The Diamond Sutra says, past mind cannot be attained. It is already gone. Also, present mind cannot be attained. As soon as we realize it, it has disappeared into the past. And finally, future mind cannot be attained because it is not yet present. So I ask you, with what kind of mind will you use to eat these mind refreshers?" Taishan stammered and could not answer. He was completely stuck. So that's for you. That's for you to answer during this 3-month period and explore. One of the beauties of our Zen tradition is that an old woman by the side of the road gets to catch up some smart ass alligator. So, with that said, I think that is all I have on my list. Yeah. So thank you again for joining us for Kyelche this year. Thank you for coming for the first time, for the 100th time. We'll see you again next.